Doubt is a fact of life. The first definition of doubt, according to Merriam-Webster, is to be uncertain about something. Only a know-it-all is certain about everything. As we progress in our education, whether formal education or the education we call life, we learn how much we do not know. We realize that we will never know everything. In fact, it seems that what little I think I know is changing. Take nutrition, for example. For years, doctors have been preaching that we need to avoid cholesterol in our foods. The Washington Post recently reported, quote, "The nation's top nutrition advisory panel has decided to drop its caution about eating cholesterol-laden food, a move that could undo almost 40 years of government warnings about its consumption." End quote. Another example. When I was in high school, it was common to give athletes salt pills to keep their electrolytes high. Later, it became common knowledge that we should limit our sodium intake, so the use of salt pills disappeared. Recently, I read an article in the newspaper that said sodium limits to those who do not already have high blood pressure have been wrong. The New York Times has reported, quote, "In a report that undercuts years of public health warnings, a prestigious group convened by the government says that there is no good reason based on health outcomes for many Americans to drive their sodium consumption down to the very low levels recommended in national dietary guidelines." End quote. Now, please do not alter your diet based on my examples. You should consult your doctor or your healthcare professional for regulation of your diet based on your unique condition. My point is that what seems to be established fact isn't always, and often is not. Those things that we think are certain often are not. The classic examples are formerly well-established, accepted facts that the world is flat and the earth is the center of the universe. Science has proven both of these facts to be incorrect. Consequently, certainty can be a weakness, and doubt can be a strength. If Columbus had been certain the world was flat, he would never have sailed west in search of the East Indies. If scientists had not been willing to let go of the certainty that the earth was the center of the universe, space travel would have never happened. A healthy dose of doubt can be a good thing. Doubt keeps us challenging our assumptions. Now, in a faith context, doubt keeps us asking questions about what it means to be faithful in today's world. From time to time, you may have heard me mention a quote that has stuck with me in recent years. The opposite of faith is not doubt, it's certainty, end quote. To take it a step further, a corollary would be that faith is not possible without doubt. Faith requires trust in the unknown. Certainty excludes the unknown. Doubting Thomas leaves room for the unknown. In today's scripture lesson, Thomas is told by the disciples that Jesus had been raised from the dead. Now, Thomas had read the government studies that say crucified people do not walk out of their graves. That's a certainty. In order to challenge that fact, Thomas needs more evidence. What evidence does he have? He's standing in a room of men who claim to have seen the risen Lord, yet they're hiding behind locked doors. Actions speak louder than words. If the disciples believed what they were saying, wouldn't they be shouting the news from the rooftops? Why are they still behind closed doors? Russell Saltzman, in his article Correcting St. John, imagines how the conversation with Thomas and the disciples probably really went. Quote, Thomas listens to the 10 disciples tell him, "We've seen the Lord." Thomas, "Oh yeah, the Lord came to you. Did he really?" "Yes," they say. "Breathed on you, did he?" "You got it," they say. Thomas, "He gave you the Spirit, did he?" "Yes," they all say, heads nodding eagerly. Thomas, "Told you to go out and forgive sin, did he?" And they say, "Yes, as bouncy as puppies. Yes, he did." Thomas, "And every one of you was here in this room when he said he was sending you?" "Yes," they say, still bouncy. "We were all right here in this very room." Thomas, emitting a soft but abrupt snort, "Sorry, I don't believe a word of it. None of you are any proof of the resurrection. Because, see, if you'd been sent, how come you ain't went?" Thomas doubts what they are telling him. Yet he is willing to be open to new ideas. Thomas begins to think about what he needs to believe. Thomas is willing to believe. He is unable to accept the testimony he's hearing without more evidence. It is as if Thomas says, like the father who came to Jesus seeking healing for his child, "I believe, Lord. Help thou my unbelief." And Jesus responds to Thomas. Jesus does not reject Thomas because of his doubt. Jesus comes to Thomas and begins by saying, "Peace be with you." Jesus does not condemn Thomas's doubt. Jesus lovingly addresses Thomas's concerns. Biblical scholar Serene Jones says it this way: "What remains a constant in the midst of all these questions, however, is the answer to the doubt that we find in John's story, an answer that concerns who Jesus is, not who Thomas is. It is here that we find the real point of the gospel narrative, a tale about God's coming to us wherever we might be." End quote. The message to Thomas that blessed are those who have not seen but yet have believed is not a condemnation of Thomas, but a message to the readers of the Gospel of John, us included. The word here for believed is the same word translated faith. The message is not that those who have no doubt are blessed, but that those who are able to have faith, that is, trust in God, in the face of uncertainty, are blessed. Notice that Thomas continued to come back. Despite his lack of certainty, he continued to be faithful. Indeed, Jesus could well be seen as blessing Thomas, who'd returned to the room, the church, if you will, despite his uncertainty and his not having seen Jesus at the first appearance. We return to this room seeking the risen Christ. Jesus gives us His Holy Spirit to empower us to act. What more do we need? Do we need factual certainty in order to act? Are we going to stay behind our closed doors? When we do, Jesus comes to us behind our closed doors and gently sends us out. And when Jesus comes, notice, Jesus announces His presence with, "Peace be with you." This tells us that we can recognize the presence of Christ in His peace. Serene Jones says this, "When God comes, we will recognize God's presence in those moments when peace is offered. In those moments when life's most brutal violence is honestly acknowledged, and when in the midst of this bracing honesty, we realize that we are not alone, but have in fact been always already found." End quote. That's why we pass the peace of Christ during our worship, not just so we can visit. As the body of Christ, we show the presence of Jesus by passing His peace. Please note that the peace of Christ does not mean staying behind closed doors. Jesus says in John's version of the Great Commission, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." The peace of Christ does not allow us to stay inside. The peace of Christ bids us to go out into the world. But Jesus does not send us into the world alone. Jesus sends us into the world with the gift of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, God within us, empowers us to do the hard work of being the body of Christ in the world. The Holy Spirit, God with us, empowers us to take the peace of Christ into the world. The Holy Spirit, God with us, empowers us to act in faith despite the uncertainty which we will surely encounter. The peace of Christ be with you. Amen. Having heard the word of God.